Acts chapter 5. We're going to go to verse 12, read two verses of scripture there. Amen. Praise God again. It's good to have everybody tonight. Thankful for you that are here. Amen. We just want to get into the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. We are begotten by the Word.
Amen.
The Word will keep us.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. It sustains us, feeds us. Praise God. Empowers us. Praise the Lord. And I'm thankful for the Word tonight. Acts chapter 5, going to verse 12. If you've got it, say amen.
Amen.
By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. Amen. They're going to blast the shofar. Amen. And we want you to give the Lord praise for his word tonight. Come on. Let's
bless him.
Praise God for his word.
Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah.
On this thought, will you go on the porch? Amen. Will you go on the porch? Look at your neighbor, pose that question. Will you go on the porch? Amen. Will you go on the porch? Praise God. Up to Acts chapter 5. We all know Acts chapter 2. Most everybody knows that. Amen. It's familiar with Acts chapter 2. Amen. When Jesus ascended back to the Father. Amen. And he told them to tarry in Jerusalem. Amen. So they were endued with power. Amen. It was the time of Pentecost. And when that day of Pentecost had fully come, amen, we know that they were gathered in the upper room. 120 of them received, amen, the power of the Holy Ghost. They were filled, amen, speaking with other tongues, amen. And this caused, amen, a transition, a shift, a revival. However you want to look at it, amen. It was the birth of what we is often called as the New Testament church, amen. Or the Church of Acts, praise God. But up to Acts chapter 5, amen, when we begin to see things as they begin to go from there, and we begin to see, amen, they begin to see people saved, they begin to see things happen. But if you go up to Acts chapter 5, we see that God's trying to expose the enemy in the early church, amen. He's trying to, amen, bring to light the things that have hindered or that have kept the people, amen, from a true right relationship with him. Amen. Now, God wasn't trying to flex his muscles. He wasn't trying to exercise his power. But God was trying to bring a purity by and fear of him. Amen. A fear of the truth. He was trying to bring that into the early church. He was trying to bring a reverence. Amen. Into the early church. Now, you understand again that there was, and we preached on Sunday morning. Amen. About 25 different sects of Jews, amen, and there was, amen, a lot of dissension. There was a lot of things that were, amen, coming in between and causing a lot of rifts and different things like this that God was trying to expose, amen, the division. He was trying to expose, amen, the enemy, and he was trying to bring to them a purity, amen, and a fear of him and a fear of the truth. And we're talking about a reverence, amen, but also that if they feared and saw his hand enough and feared him in that way, they would begin to reverence him and honor him and have a fear. And the idea was for this to change their ways. This was the idea for them to turn, amen, from their traditions and to turn from the doctrines of men and all of the things, amen, that were taking place. And so what he was doing is there were signs and wonders that were beginning to happen through the hands of the apostles, amen, of those that had come out of the upper room, those that had been called, amen, the hands of the apostles were beginning to see signs and wonders. There were beginning to be miraculous things were beginning to happen. And this was causing people's ideas, amen, and their hearts to be changed. This was bringing that purity and that fear of the truth and that fear of God back into, amen, the early church. And the Bible says that they were being esteemed very highly. Amen. The apostles were being held in a high esteem because of these miracles and these signs and wonders, amen, that were happening. And we read to you, amen, in verse 12, that by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Amen. So this was causing some changes. This was making, amen, changes among the people. Praise God. And they were continuing. These signs and wonders were continuing to be done among the people. Amen. And it tells us there in verse 13, amen, or verse 12, at the end of verse 12, it tells us that they were teaching on Solomon's porch there at the temple. Solomon's porch was part of the temple, and they were there at Solomon's porch teaching. Now keep in mind, this is where Jesus taught. Amen. Jesus taught on the porch of Solomon. Amen. And this is where the rabbis taught. This is where the rabbis would go. Amen. You understand, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Amen. These were the two, amen, different divisions, amen, among the law keepers and among the teachers. Amen. And even the high priests and all of those. Amen. So this is where the rabbis taught. Amen. And so here were the apostles, amen, teaching about Jesus. Amen. And as they were teaching, there were signs and wonders and miracles that were beginning to happen. Amen. There on Solomon's porch. And so keep in mind that they were doing this in the face of the Sadducees. Amen. Here they were, praise God, teaching, amen, this gospel, a new doctrine. Amen. Amen, the doctrine of the Messiah. And they were on Solomon's porch where the rabbis would come and teach the people. And so they were doing this, amen, in the face of the Sadducees. And the Bible says that no one wanted to join the apostles on Solomon's porch. They didn't want to be seen with them on the porch. But yet they held them in very high esteem. They continued to regard them highly. And so even though they did not want to go on the porch with the apostles, even though they didn't want to be seen with the apostles, they still regarded them very highly for what they were seeing through them. And the Bible says, amen, that multitudes of believers and people were being saved. Multitudes, the complete Jewish Bible says, throngs of people were being saved. So now you've got you've got the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and we'll talk about them, amen, in just a little bit more, but you've got them now, and they're teaching, and they've always been, amen, the authority, if you will, on the law and on the Torah and on what we would call the Word of God. Keep in mind that, amen, the New Testament had not been written, so that when we say the Word, we're talking about what we regard as the Old Testament. So this was their Bible. Hallelujah. And so now here they are. Amen. These law teachers, these lawgivers, amen, these ones that taught the oral law, amen, and they taught, amen, everything that the Jews practiced, their traditions and all of their understandings, and the rabbis would come and teach. And now here comes the apostles who are teaching a new doctrine. And now people who once held the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the rabbis in high regard, they're now holding the apostles in this high regard. And not only are they holding them in high regard, but they're coming out from among the people. Amen. They're saying yes to this gospel. They're saying yes to this truth about Jesus who came. They're saying yes, amen, as they see the miracles and the signs and wonders, amen. And so, so much so that the Bible says that they brought the sick, amen, out to the streets, and they laid mattresses and they laid stretcher beds out on the sides of the road, amen, the streets in the city, and they laid the sick there, and they desired, amen, that just Peter's shadow, as Peter would pass by them, that his shadow would go over top of them. Oh, I feel the preacher tonight. Just stay with me. Hallelujah. They wanted, amen, desired that Peter's shadow, amen, would go over top of them, that they might be healed. Now, it's interesting, amen, when we look at the word shadow in the Hebrew, it is the word tsesol. It literally means shade, amen. But it's interesting that the same root word, amen, that is in shadow, which is a tselem, amen, is in the word image. Hallelujah. So shadow literally means, amen, a shade or an image. Amen. The Bible says that we are made in the image, or if I can say it like this, in the shadow of God. So what was happening here? Peter's image. See, amen, we're literally made in the shadow of God. And so now what was taking place here? We're not really told, amen, if Peter's shadow actually healed them. But they saw something in Peter. Amen. They saw a change in Peter to the point that they understood, hallelujah, that there was something in him, amen, that was different. And so Peter's image was replicating the image of the Messiah, so much so that it was the direct representation of God himself, that the power that flows through his image. So Peter was replicating, amen, the very image of God, so much so that the power of God, amen, was flowing through his shadow or his image. Amen. So there was something, hallelujah, amen, coming out of Peter. Amen. And what it was the image of God. It was the mind and the will and the emotions of God. Amen. What we would see as the fruit of the Spirit, if you will. Amen. But Peter, hallelujah. See, you got to understand what Peter used to be. Remember, Peter knew what it was to deny the Lord. He knew what it was to deny the Messiah. He did it 3 times. Hallelujah. He knew what it meant to feel the guilt and the shame that goes along with denying the Messiah. Peter is the one that Jesus said to him, hallelujah, he was going to build his church off of the rock Messiah on the shoulders of Peter. Amen. He was going to take the lead. Amen. To take the torch over. Hallelujah. So there was something in Peter, amen, that reflected the image of God. So much so that in his image, hallelujah, was the very mind, will, and emotions of God. Can I tell you that God is trying to produce his image inside of us? I said God is trying to produce his image inside of us. He's not trying to produce a preacher. He's not trying to produce a worship leader. He's not trying to produce a pastor. He's not trying to produce a missionary. He's not trying to produce an evangelist. He's not trying to produce a career. He's not trying to produce a ministry. God is trying to produce his image inside of every believer. And if we would get that first, then all of those other things and their titles wouldn't matter as much. Come on, somebody help me in this place. And we would begin to seek after him more than we would seek after, hallelujah, the title or the necessity to fulfill the calling. I need somebody to help me study the word, amen, to know all the hints and the hidden revelations. All those things are good. I'm not saying they're not, amen, important or they don't matter. But here's what I'm telling you. If the image of God is not growing inside of you, and there is a more and more likeness of Him, then you're nothing more than like the old Paul, who is persuasive in words but has no power. Come on, Saul. Paul knew the word. He knew it from front to back. He was a wise teacher, but he did not have the power. Peter thought he knew the word and thought he had the power, but it was only when he stripped himself of his mind, his will, and his emotions, and he put on the image of God and said, strip me of everything that's not like you. Take away all that is me. Hallelujah. Amen. And reveal yourself through me.
God.
So if your study of the word is not growing the image of God inside of you, I challenge you to stop and take some evaluation. That more and more likeness of Him. And if that's not happening, then you're really like the old Paul, if I can say it like that, who was persuasive in his words, but he had no power. The image, see, there was something about Peter. See, Paul said, I come what? With a demonstration of power.
Yeah.
He said, I don't come with enticing words, because he had those. Paul knew how to work a crowd. Paul knew how to keep people's attention. Paul knew the right things to say. Paul knew all front to back. Hallelujah, come on. Amen. He knew what it was all about, what it was meant to be, what the benefit, amen, of it was. And he knew how to keep a crowd. Praise God. There's a lot of preachers that know how to work a crowd.
Well.
They even go to Christian college to learn how to do that mess. I'm not saying anything's wrong with Christian college, so then they're wrong, but I'm just saying you can't be taught. Because here's the thing, your will and your emotions and your mind should not be working a crowd.
Right.
But it should be the mind, will, and emotions of God.
The anointing, yeah.
You hear me?
Yeah.
That image. And that power is found in the shadow of God. In the shadow of His wings. Where we dwell and where we hide. That's where we were made. We were made in the shadow of our Creator.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
And when you're there, when you're in the shadow, His shadow, and you're under the shadow of His wings, you strip yourself of your mind, your will, and your emotions, your own image or your own shadow, and you take on the image of God. That's what Satan is threatened by.
Yeah.
He's not threatened by our preaching, our gifts. Come on, he's not even threatened by our anointing. Listen, folks. There's people following people because of their anointing, but there's no power, there's no life behind that anointing. Satan is anointed. And he knows how to anoint people. Come on. Satan, amen, is threatened when we bear the image of God. That's what he doesn't want us to understand. That's what he doesn't want us to have. He is threatened by that. And this is what sin does. And it's why sin exists. Because it dampens, it brings darkness to the light or the image of God. Sin is a grafting in of the tree of knowledge of good and evil into the tree of life. That's what sin does. It grafted in that tree of the knowledge of good and evil and into the tree of life. And what it does is it dims the light of God. So when we allow our mind and our will and our emotions to overtake us, then we're dimming the light of God. Are you with me? Understand? So this is see, we were created to be image bearers. First and foremost, before anything else. We will be rewarded for our obedience. We're going to be judged by whether or not we are saved. Right? Are you with me? Amen? Praise God. So he has made us to be image bearers. And these things dim the light of God. It dims the shadow of God. Hence, it dims the power of God. So it causes a decrease. This is why the enemy wants to keep you out of the secret place. This is why he wants to keep you out of the shadow of God. This is why he wants to bring you and cover us. There's so much stuff that's going on. I was texting someone earlier this evening, amen. And you know, I've decided I'm not in a season. I'm in a season of seasons. Like, this season is full of seasons. That makes sense? Like, I'm done saying this is one season. Are you with me? Because just when it seems like that there is some kind of respite, then boom, there's something else. So this is a season of seasons. Amen? So all of these seasons, you know how abrupt December has showed up, right? It's cold today.
Yep.
Right? It's cold.
Yes.
And so December is going, I'm here.
You're
I'm here.
Amen.
That's how it feels in the spirit sometimes. See, these things rising up. I'm here. I got you. I know. And that's why the enemy wants to cause us to be distracted and to be distraught by all the circumstances. When there's people who are laying on stretcher beds and mattresses, sick, bound, that need our shadow. Are you with me? They need the image of God over their life. See, here's what you've got to understand. Satan knows it's hard to get you back once you're a believer. Once you're really in there and you are a follower of Jesus, Satan knows it's hard to get you back. Are you with me? Now, I'm not saying it's impossible to get you back, but he knows it's hard to get you back. Amen? Praise God. So what's he do? He just tries to dim the power. If he can dim the power, amen, then it's going to weaken, amen, your ability to reflect the image of God. Are you with me? Hallelujah. And then he just works in a vicious cycle. So if he can dim the power, amen, then it's not about how much we speak in tongues. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not about how much, amen, the Holy Ghost works through us. Amen. It's about how much of the image of the Creator do we have in our lives. Amen. Because there's a lot of folks, the devil can speak in tongues. I've heard him plenty of times. Amen. Praise God. He knows how to, amen, imitate everything that God does except, hallelujah, the love and the grace and the mercy of God. He does not have, amen, the ability, amen, to duplicate, amen, the true grace and love and mercy of God. Are you with me? Hallelujah. And so God's wanting us, amen, to carry that image, amen, to bring that slim, amen, in our lives that as we walk, it's not about the scientific facts, amen, that the light behind us bearing, amen, causing the shadow. It's about the image of God working through us. Amen. That our shadow and our image, amen, is a reflection of His shadow and His image. That is where we were created. This is why, amen, we can, He gives us, amen, all of these things that we are able, amen, to do because we are created in His shadow. Can I tell you that the power of God flows through the truth? I'm not talking about the anointing. I'm talking about the power of God. Amen. The very image of God flows, hallelujah, through the truth. And the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And so what the enemy wants to do is he wants to dim, amen, the power. He wants to dim the light so that the pipe, if I can say it like that, through which the power is supposed to flow through, amen, gets clogged up. Hallelujah, and the power is limited. Amen, a pipe can be clogged, but it can still, amen, allow water to flow through it. Just not as fast and not as much, amen, and not as intense. So you gotta wait a little longer for something to get filled up. And that's what the enemy wants to do. Hallelujah. He wants to dim the light in our lives. Amen. The power of God flows through the truth. And so this is what was happening, amen, in this, in Acts, amen, chapter 5. Hallelujah. This is what was happening. The power of God was now flowing through the apostles. Amen. And these people who once believed the half-truth and once, amen, lived their lives according to traditions and the laws of men and the doctrines of devils, if I can say it like that, they were now getting something. They were seeing. Amen. And so multitudes of them were being converted. And the Sadducees and Pharisees were losing people. They were losing influence. They were losing number. There weren't as many showing up when they would come to teach. Hallelujah. But there was thousands gathered around. Amen. Peter. Amen. And Paul and James. John, these that were there. Amen. The apostles. They were gathered around all of these. Amen. And it was causing a great stir. Can I tell you that's when the enemy begins to, amen, erupt. When we begin to bring people, amen, away from His number. When we begin to bring people away from His influence. This is why He doesn't want us, amen, bearing the image of God. I'll say it again. He's not threatened by how many times we show up for church. Amen. He's not threatened by how many times we follow through. He's threatened by, amen, the image and the light of the Creator flowing through us. That when we show up, amen, something is happening. That when we, hallelujah, pursue, when we lift our hands, even if we're not feeling it, there's a light inside of us, hallelujah, that's bearing, and the power of God, amen, and people will be changed, people will be, amen, delivered, people will be brought from captivity, and they're laying on their beds, sick, needing the image of God, the power of God. This is why there's so much resistance in our culture. And we've got to be careful. And so the power of God flows through the truth. Now, if you look at verse 17. I didn't get that to them. They don't want to pull it up, but it says, then the high priest rose up and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, were filled with indignation. See, here's the big rift that was being caused in the Sadducees. Is one of the differences in the Pharisees and the Sadducees is the Pharisees believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. And so here comes Peter and the apostles preaching about a resurrected Messiah. But not only about a resurrected Messiah, but that there will be a resurrection. So this was causing a great stir among the Sadducees. Because now again, they were losing people. But more importantly, they were losing the influence that they had on the people. Because the light of God that was now flowing, amen, the image of Peter has given them revelation. And so now the high priest, the Sadducees, couldn't convince them that their way was truth. And it was causing a great stir. And so what did they do? They put the apostles in prison. They put them in prison. They put them in the local jail, if I can say it like that. Because they were causing this disturbance. But something happened. There's always a but when God's involved. But God. But the Bible tells us that an angel came and let them out of prison. That an angel showed up and let them out of prison. Not only did he let them out of prison, but God told them to go back to Solomon's porch, to the temple, and teach again. So not only did the angel come and bring them out of prison, but God told them, I want you to go back. So I want you to go do the very thing that got you put in prison. See, they had to be willing to go to the porch. They had to be willing to that the influence and the power of God and the fruit that came from the message and from the gospel, amen, had to be more important to them, amen, than anything else. Seeing the lives, see, because they had a true experience with truth, amen, they didn't just have a Sunday kind of feeling. They didn't just have, amen, a churchy, amen, experience. They had a true experience with the truth of the Messiah. Amen. This is why. Amen. They had set aside their mind, their will, and their emotions. And the Bible tells us in the same chapter in verse 21 that when they heard it, that early the next morning, they were on the porch to preach and teach again. And the next verse, verse 22, says the officers went to the prison to get them. And when they got to the prison, that the prison doors were shut and locked, but nobody was in the cell. They were shut and they were locked, but there was nobody in the cell. So here's what you got to understand. You understand what happened? The Bible says that the guards did not see them. So the angel came and unlocked the prison doors, brought them out. So the angel and the apostles walked past the guards, but they did not see them. Talk about a supernatural manifestation. I don't believe that They went from the prison cell, amen, out to the outside, but they disappeared, amen, you know, just like that, praise God. But they literally walked out. The Bible doesn't say that the guards were asleep, that the guards weren't paying attention. It simply said the guards did not see them. So what am I saying? I'm saying that this was a supernatural happening. And I want to tell somebody tonight that whenever and whatever you think that the enemy has restricted in your life, whatever you think, amen, that the enemy has, amen, got bound up and locked up, amen, in your life, I want you to realize tonight that God can supernaturally open the door, amen, and he can, hallelujah, open it at the worst part of your situation. This was the worst part of their situation. The darkest hour is just before dawn, right? Hallelujah. God likes to wait till our backs are against the wall and it looks like it's impossible, because by the time our back is against the wall, we've exhausted everything that we know to do, and we're just waiting on God. So I want somebody to know tonight, hallelujah, praise God, that it may look like the enemy has got some things restricted, amen, in your spiritual life, but God will show up at the worst time of your situation. You're saying it can get worse than it is now? I'm afraid so. But here's the thing. It'll never get so bad, amen, that God won't show up, amen, and reverse it and take it. Right? He'll never lead us to a place that he will not, amen, have a way of escape. Are you with me? Amen. You say, I don't know, Pastor. It just looks pretty impossible right now. I'm with you. I feel you. There's been a certain thing, amen, that's, amen, been weighing on me. Amen. When I'm in my prayer closet, amen, it's a burden to me. And when I look, hallelujah, and I'll be honest with you, it's the last thing that I pray about. Amen. Just about every time I'm in my prayer closet, it's the last thing that I talk to God about, because in my mind's eye, it looks like it is impossible. It's been so long, and the circumstances have been such that it looks like, amen, that it's not even worth asking God, amen, anymore, because maybe it's not supposed to happen. But I'm telling you that God will show up at the worst of your situation, amen, when it looks like it ain't going to get out, and he'll supernaturally make a way, and every demon that's been set to watch over your situation to make sure that you stay depressed, repressed, amen, rejected, overwhelmed, anxious, amen, doubt, and faithless, hallelujah, he'll walk right past, and they will not have the authority or the power to stop what God is doing. But you gotta be willing to go to the porch. You gotta be willing to say, God, yeah, I'll go back to the very thing that got me in this, amen, trial in the first place, because it's more important about pleasing you and not my will, but thy will be done. That's most important. You really want your children to be saved and delivered and set free? You really want those relationships to be restored? You really want those things, amen, to look impossible in your life? You really want God to do the things that you're believing him for? Then you got to be willing to go to the porch. You got to be willing to be seen with the truth. The people held them in high regards, and they esteemed them highly, but they weren't willing to be seen with them on the porch. They weren't willing to go to the porch. You can't be satisfied with a mediocre flow of the power of God in your life. Some of you sitting here tonight, you're called. You've got a calling in your life, and you're sitting. You're sitting, and you know you're called. And you're reminded of it. You're reminded of it. God reminds you of it. You're reminded of it when you come to the house of God. You're reminded of it. Amen. As a preacher's preacher, you're like, yeah, you got all of these reasons why. But God's asking you tonight, are you willing to come on the porch? Are you willing to go on the porch? To say, not my will, not what I feel, not what I think, but to be an image bearer. I don't know who the Lord is talking to tonight. Maybe he's talking to somebody on the other side of that camera. Maybe it'll be someone. See, you never know. You never know. When you step in and walk in obedience and let the light of God, the image, the shadow of God, flow through you and from you, where it's going to, how it's going to affect others. I will tell you, you know, and any preacher knows, you can ask the way, I did not ever talk about my messages to her. I've never been one, and I'm not saying anything about anybody that does, but I've never said, how'd you think that went? I've never asked her. Now she's brought it up to me before, and we've talked, but I've never said, how'd you think it went? But I can tell you that more times than not, I step away from this pulpit after preaching a message thinking, gee whiz, that was trash. I don't mean that about the word. I'm talking about my ability to bring it forth the way that God brought it. You see what I'm saying? I'm not talking about nothing about this is ever that. But thinking, Mondays are the worst days of the week. And it's my day off. And so, I don't have to get up and add it on in the morning most times. And so, you sit and you reflect and you're like, oh my God. But you never know. But then God will call somebody who's a backslider or not even saved to reach out and say, I came across your message. And I just want you to know how much it ministered to me. How much it touched me. So my point being is that you never know the influence that the light and the image of God will have on other people. And so the enemy, that's why he wants you to keep you restricted. He wants you to doubt. So don't doubt. But those of you, God is asking tonight, will you go to the porch? Will you go on the porch? Are you willing to be seen with the truth? And so the high priest sent for them to be brought again and reprimanded. Close. The people told him, we went to get them from the prison and they weren't there. The door was shut. Was locked, but they weren't in there. Now they're back on the porch this morning. They're back on the porch teaching again. The high priest sent for them to be brought and to be reprimanded. Here's what you got to understand. See, when the people crucified Jesus, they sent him to the Romans to deal with it because they didn't want his blood on their hands. They didn't want his blood on their hands. So they sent him to the Romans to deal with him and to crucify him and to handle him and to prosecute him and to find him. And when they came before the high priest this time, well, see, now you see so many people were being converted and believing that Jesus, who was crucified, was the Messiah. And the high priest said, "You're trying to bring his blood on our hands. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to bring his blood on our hands because you're convincing these people that he really was who he said he was. And so now you're trying to bring his blood on our hands." And they answered, Peter answered and said, "We're here to obey God, not men. We're here to obey God and not man." And he said, "You killed Jesus. His blood is on your hands because you killed him. We've got to not seek to please man. You have got to purpose to not please man." Listen to me. The influence of the world is deep, especially on these young people. The influence is so deep, and it's easy to not lead because of the pressure and the influence. And it's easier to be a follower and not a leader. So it's easier for them to stay with the crowd than it is to stand out. It's not easy for these young people to go to the porch. We can't criticize them. We can't judge them. Because how many times do we not go to the porch? How many times do we worry about what someone is thinking or what man might say? So it's not easy to separate yourself from the norm and go to the porch. And so that influence is very deep in our culture and in our world right now. And even in the church, I'm telling you, I hate to keep repeating it when we get up there, but I'm telling you, there is a lot going on in the church world. There's a lot of darkness being brought to light.
Yep.
A lot of influential people that have had great influence in the kingdom of God are being exposed, and things are coming to light. The word promises us that everything will eventually come to light. And it's happening. And there are people that are afraid to stand with those who are bringing light and standing with truth. They're afraid to go to the porch, because they don't want to be seen with the truth, because they care more about what man thinks than they do about what God thinks. And you got to be willing to go on the porch. See, it goes on and it's talking, and it said, and in verse 30, he said, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, who you slew and hanged on a tree." You killed him. You did it. You did it. Not the Romans. You did it. And verse 31, he said, "Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." So you got to understand what Peter was saying here. Once again, context is important.
Yes.
It matters who was speaking,
who they're speaking to and in what context they're speaking. So remember, Peter's speaking to the high priest of the Sadducees, who don't believe in resurrection, and he's teaching that Jesus resurrected and there will be a resurrection. But he's now talking to the high priest, and he looks at him and he says that God hath exalted the one that you crucified on his right hand to be a prince and a savior. Now, when you look at this word prince, it is the same word for high priest or captain of the guard. It's translated, and it's the same word as high priest or captain of the guard. So he was insulting the high priest. He was telling him, God has raised this one that you crucified to his right hand and made him a prince or a high priest or the captain of the guard and savior. Can I tell you that in Judaism, the high priest was referred to as the right hand of God? So a high priest in Judaism was considered or referred to the right hand of God. So now here's Peter telling this Sadducee high priest that God raised the Messiah, raised the one you crucified to be a high priest at his right hand. Now, are you with me? So he is truthfully and lovingly insulting him. Amen. Praise God. And telling him what you're doing is in vain. What you are and what you're doing means nothing. All of this means nothing anymore because what? We have now a high priest who is seated at the right hand of God. This is why, amen, Jesus is referred to, amen, as that high priest. So he's insulting him. And he also said, and now we are a witness. Verse 32, he said, and we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. So now he said, we are a witness. This word witness is translated as martyr. And it was literally unto death. So he said, we are witnesses, or we are a martyr for him. And we're willing to go all the way even unto death by what we have saw and what he has done. So we believe in this so much that we're willing to even die for the sake of this gospel. Are you with me? That's a commitment. That is a real commitment. This is why they were able to go back on the porch. Amen. Even when being there got them arrested just the day before. They were willing to go on the porch. They were willing, amen, to confront, amen, the enemy, the traditions and the doctrines, amen, and the things that had no weight or no power, amen, in the image of God. Are we willing to go on the porch in these last hours? Listen, I'm telling you, there's more tribulation coming. Hallelujah. Don't you dare get comfortable, because I believe there's more, amen, that's coming. Amen. And we've got to be willing, hallelujah, to be witnesses. This made them furious, and they plotted to kill him.
Right.
They plotted to kill them. And then a man by the name of Gamaliel stood up. He was, if I can say it like this, the top Pharisee teacher. He was of the Pharisees. He was the grandson of Hillel. Hillel is one of the teachings and the doctrine. The Pharisees, amen, were of the Hillel, and the Sadducees were of the Shammai. What it was called was what was called the Shammai. So Gamaliel stood up, the top Pharisee preacher. In verse 38, he said, "Leave these men alone. Leave them alone," because that's what he said. He said, if this movement is of man, it will collapse. If this movement is in their flesh, it will collapse, which is what we're seeing right now in the church. We're seeing some movements collapsing because it was of man.
Yeah.
Idolatry, sexual immorality, at the very root of the movements. He said, if the movement is of man, it will collapse. He said, but if it's of God, you can't stop it.
Yeah.
So in other words, you might kill them, but there will be others. Look at all of these others that have now been saved, and all of these others. So you can kill them, but it's not going to stop his word. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So don't let the enemy threaten you with he's going to take you out, and that this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, because nothing's going to stop the word of God. He said, so if it's of God, you can't stop it. He said, as a matter of fact, you might find yourselves fighting against God.
Right.
So go ahead and let the resistance and the opposition and the persecution rise up. They're not fighting against you. They're fighting against God, the image of God. And here's what you got to understand. See, it was the Apostle Paul. It was Gamaliel that the Apostle Paul sat at his feet. He's the teacher of Paul. Paul was a Pharisee. Gamaliel was Paul's teacher. He was a again, the grandson of Hillel. And so Paul was taught under Gamaliel. See, which Gamaliel was of the Hillel sect. And they had a more liberal interpretation of the law. The Pharisees had a little more liberal interpretation of the law. Whereas the Shammai, as I told you, they had this, which was the Sadducees, they had a literal interpretation of Scripture. So there was nothing. See, the Pharisees had the oral law, and they had the interpretations of men. Those were the two differences of belief. And this is what you've got to understand that was happening, what was going on. And those two differences of belief is what's woven in the book of Acts and in through the New Testament. Amen. To where that resistance and the teaching of the Jews. And so the Bible says that they preached daily. So Gamaliel said, let them go. But they beat them first. He sent them outside, but the Bible says that they beat them first. I thought about that today. What if I got beat up every time I preach? Would I preach again? Would I be willing to stand back up, go back on the porch, and do it again? I don't know. If I'm honest. I'd like to think, yeah. I'm invested, yes. I'd like to think that I would. The Bible says that they went right from there after they put them outside and they beat them, that they preached and taught daily in the temple, and they went from house to house teaching. I kind of had a picture of them today walking down the street with black eyes, bruises, going to the temple, standing on the porch, seeing the very ones that beat them, took them captive, but preaching the love and the power of the gospel and salvation of Jesus Christ. Showing up day after day, daily, and seeing multitudes converted and brought out of darkness into light. breaking the traditions and the religious mindset off of their lives, stripping their mind, will, and emotions, being in the shadow of God. All because they were willing to go on the porch. As God led me to this, I wasn't sure what he was trying to say, which happens often these days. But he's asking tonight, will you go on the porch? Are you willing to stay in this fight with your truth until you see his covenant released and revealed in your life? God's done with folks playing.
Sure is.
He's done with people hiding and deceiving. He's ready for the real. We preached several years ago, some of you may remember, a message that said, will the real Jesus stand up?
Yep.
Will the real Jesus stand up? Everybody's got their version of Jesus, but the world needs the real Jesus. The real Jesus, that image, that light of God. That's why we are pursuing and doing what we're doing. It's so that we bear the image of God. It's not so that we're right and someone else is wrong, but it's so that somebody is waiting on the side of the road. And there's power in our image if we stay in the shadow of the Almighty. As they come to the music, we have so many blessings, and God overflows, and his presence, and he loves us and blesses us and reminds us and brings us. We schedule revival services and camp meetings, and God refreshes us, and he fills us, and he restores us, and he restores and reminds us and gives us, amen, prophetic word, and gives us, amen, renews our purpose, amen, and takes us through. He wants us to begin to walk it and to bear that image. And so he wants to know if we'll go on the porch. It's easy to be amazed and to esteem what God's doing, and even those who walk in that power. But God says, you can come on the porch. They didn't want to be seen with them because they were worried about what man thought, the consequences, what man might say, what it might bring to their lives, what kind of resistance, what kind of persecution might affect their livelihood. It might affect, maybe they worked in the temple, there was a lot of different things, their family, the resistance that they would get. And so they dared not go on the porch with them. They just held them in high regard. But God's asking tonight, will you go on the porch? Will you be the one that steps away from all that might be and that might happen to see the will of God and the image of God. Same thing across the sanctuary.